from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri's Children's Division is on the verge of a major overhaul. Workers who look into alleged child abuse and neglect will transition into more specialized roles on September 1st with the goal of reducing a traditionally high caseload. It's also aimed at steering more experienced workers to jobs where they can make more money and assist newer investigators with complicated cases. This transition is coming at a challenging time for Children's Division. Data from the Department of Social Services show that caseloads for investigators are going up again, including in the St. Louis region. Steph Quinn covers social services for the Missouri Independent. She's the author of an article that came out this week detailing the rising caseloads for investigators and heartburn over the Children's Division restructuring. Steph, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me.
Your article detailed that caseloads for investigators have gone up in more parts of the state. What numbers in particular caught your attention?
Some of the highest numbers are in St. Louis County and St. Louis City. Most recently, looking at the most recent data that's available on the Children's Division's dashboard for that area in July, the average number of cases that a worker had open for child abuse and neglect investigations was 97 in St. Louis County. That was the highest in the state, and 58 in St. Louis City, which I believe was the second highest.
Was there any reasons that people gave you why St. Louis in particular was high?
No, I'm actually not totally sure why St. Louis in particular is high. The workers that I spoke with talked a lot about new rules and policies that have been introduced, I think with the aim of preventing mistakes from being made and making sure kids are staying safe. But the workers that I talked to said that these policies mean that cases take longer to close and can also take workers away from, you know, really building close relationships with kids and their families and learning about those families' specific needs.
Can you give some examples of some of these new rules that some of the caseworkers you talked with have found delay closing a case more often?
Sure. There's a type of meeting called a team decision-making meeting. These involve parents. They involve, I think, the child, if they're old enough, the caseworker, the person's supervisor from Children's Division, the juvenile officer. And workers told me that the goal of those really was to engage parents in the assessment or investigative process. There was a message that was sent out to workers not too long ago, within the past year, saying that, I guess essentially narrowing the times when workers were able to use that kind of tool. So I guess that wasn't so much adding a new rule as subtracting a tool, there have been new forms that require workers to document all the steps they took when they were trying to find relatives. For supervisors, there are new checklists, like really detailed checklists for supervisor consults. There's a new requirement, or relatively new requirement, that when workers use a risk assessment tool to assess like the chances that a child could be subject to abuse or neglect in the future, if the family score is high or very high and they don't recommend either services or the child's removal, they have to meet with their supervisor's supervisor and go over it. Workers say that they're already, you know, overloaded. And, you know, these extra steps, they say, don't necessarily make kids safer or help them connect families with the resources that they need. As I was saying earlier, they, you know, mean that it takes longer to close cases.
Did the people you talked with provide any rationale why Children's Division was doing this? And I'm only going from an assumption here. My thought may be that since juvenile officers are responsible for triggering the judicial process to remove children from a home, they may just want as much information and evidence as possible. And it's just possible that some of the new steps you mentioned is a way to give the juvenile officer a stronger case, especially if they have to do a removal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely fair to say. I think the intention is definitely to ensure that there's more consistency in how cases are, you know, handled throughout the state, to make sure workers have consistent guidance about how they should approach cases. So I think that is the intention, but I also am hearing from workers that there's a disconnect, perhaps, between that intention and the way things are playing out on the ground.
Yeah, and I mention that because one of the struggles that investigators face is that they often have to act quickly if a child is in imminent danger, either because of physical or sexual abuse or extreme neglect. But I can tell you, whenever I write anything about Children's Division, I get emails from people who claim their child was separated from them unfairly, or that Children's Division made a bunch of mistakes. So, to play devil's advocate, couldn't it be argued that a rigorous process is aimed at making sure the strongest case is being built if a child, especially if a child removal order gets sent to a juvenile officer?
Yeah, I mean, I hear that argument. I guess I would just say that one thing I've heard is that when these kind of administrative tasks and, you know, like paperwork piling up, that, you know, as those things pile up, workers are getting new hotline calls, and, you know, some of them are emergencies. And they're saying that it becomes more difficult, and they don't necessarily have the discretion to prioritize and, you know, make sure, A, that, you know, new hotlines that they get in, they're making sure those kids are actually safe without having to worry about all this paperwork, but also that, you know, keeping cases open longer, it means that Children's Division is intervening longer in families' lives. Mm-hmm. And in some of those cases, they say, you know, kids actually were safe.
So this caseload increase that you reported about is coming at a time when Children's Division is restructuring their child abuse and neglect investigation department. Children's Division Director Sarah Smith talked with us earlier this year about the change, and she contends it will ultimately result in investigators having more manageable workloads.
We hear a lot from team members that are still boots on the ground with us, and team members that have unfortunately left because the job is too much. You know, they're not getting the right professional path. They're out on potentially an investigation just coming out of training. And we need to make sure that we're equipping them to be able to handle those investigations. So we're rolling out several specialized teams that team members statewide are filling out surveys for where they feel that they are most applicable to fit in and do the work. So our newborn crisis assessment team, chronic neglect team, sexual abuse investigations, a mobile unit to provide assistance statewide, general investigations, general assessments, and then also our critical investigations unit and out-of-home investigations units, which are already established.
That was Children's Division Director Sarah Smith on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air earlier this year. Steph, what are people telling you about the upcoming restructuring that is slated to take effect in a couple of weeks?
Yep. So I think there's definitely a hope that it will be helpful. At the same time, I think that workers are a little bit apprehensive. They're not totally sure that it will help with overwhelming caseloads because it doesn't involve hiring more frontline workers. There are a couple of new positions that are managerial. But yeah, I mean, I heard some doubt from workers that this will...
It seems like we're having connection problems with Steph Quinn of the Missouri Independent. Steph, are you back?
Yes.
Yeah. You were saying about the reaction among workers to this restructuring, if you could continue what you were saying.
Yeah, of course. So I think workers are hopeful that this will help make caseloads more manageable and help make it easier to... close investigations within the 45 days that's in the law. But at the same time, I think workers are a little bit apprehensive. They say that, things have been a little bit chaotic lately and they're worried about, more change. And they aren't sure that this plan will help because it doesn't involve hiring more frontline workers. I think it's also worth saying that it's kind of a centralization in that frontline workers will be reporting to more regional, specialized team leaders rather than supervisors who are in their county or circuit. And from what I've heard, those relationships with like county supervisors are really key. So I think there are some nerves about this reorganization and what it'll mean on the ground.
Interestingly, when I asked Smith about what the reaction was to this restructuring, she mentioned to me that it wasn't being universally well received. Here is Sarah Smith again earlier this year on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
So having an organization of almost 2,000 team members throughout the state, 46 judicial circuits with a variety of tenure, honestly, I've gotten a mixed bag. So I've received lots of feedback and emails excited for the change, thanking for a bold step, something different, something that is more manageable for them, specifically around the on-call. That is something we've heard a lot of positive feedback about, not only from our investigators, but also from our other program lines that have been pitching in to cover on-call. And so that is one piece that they're really excited about, is reducing the number of hours on-call. We have some team members that until they're placed in their teams and they've had the option to select their team and then we'll look at how many we need, they are able to rank those choices between the teams that are fit within their tenure. I think they'll feel more assured when they know their team and their supervisor, which will be over. We wanted to bring them along for the next couple months and build that with them, reset, retrain. And so once they have those specific coverage areas and supervisor, I think those are the main things that they want to know. And I want to make sure that they're able to have that as soon as possible.
That again was Sarah Smith, the director of Children's Division, talking about how the agency is restructuring its child abuse and neglect investigation department. In addition to just reacting to what she said several months ago, do you have any understanding if Children's Division is trying to hire more workers to make sure that some of the concerns you heard from caseworkers don't materialize once this restructuring occurs?
So I don't have totally updated information. The Department of Social Services actually declined to answer questions for the story that we're talking about. But back in January, when some of these plans were being put in place, I had received a response from the department saying that they were making use of historic vacancies in the department to create these specialized teams, and that the intention was to use existing resources to manage workload more efficiently. So my understanding is that there aren't immediate plans to increase the number of frontline workers, but that also might not be the most updated information.
Steph Quinn writes about social services for the Missouri Independent. Steph, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.